It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and our guest today, Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll look at markets, which mixed trade on Monday. So what happened? We'll find out in a moment. First off, Chief Colton Buckley, he's chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, on a grant.
On-farm trial priorities, we've got irrigation water management technologies, nutrient management, grazing lands, and soil health demonstration trials. And then for SIG Classic priorities, we've got farmer-focused conservation outcomes to include water management, like water quality, as well as water quantity, soil health, habitat improvement, and conserving ecosystems by managing pest pressure. The major focus across everything we're doing at NRCS, particularly in SIG, is to support keeping working lands in working hands.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading. He's in Chicago and online with myfuturesadvisor.com. All right, Bob, let's start with row crops.
Well, to start out the week, a little bit higher in corn and wheat, a little bit lower in soybeans and the products, that being bean oil and soy meal, more mixed there with the front month at July bean oil up about 17 points, whereas the soy meal lost about $5 or so on the front month there. Really, we've been looking at these grain and oilseed futures falling off pretty sharply for the last few weeks, and last week added to that bearishness for sure. And what do we do from here? Well, let's look at some of the key drivers one by one in terms of the soybean market. Really, the driver there, along with corn, is the favorable Midwest weather. I think that's the main bearish driver. Rains are expected across the heart of the Midwest. The 7 to 14 day forecasts are calling for near to above normal rainfall. So obviously, this is going to be supporting early crop development. Reduces the need for any kind of weather premium in soybeans in particular, corn also. And we will get the latest numbers from the USDA in terms of the crop condition report and crop progress this afternoon. So we'll see how that aligns with the market psychology and this, you know, big bearish move that we've seen to see if it's continuously justifiable. Market's trading like a weather market. So we've got the limited heats or drought threats showing up. Traders seem to be, I'd say, comfortable pricing in relatively strong U.S. production potential for now. I mean, unless things really turn threatening pretty quickly, rallies might be difficult to sustain, but we do know that Mother Nature has a tendency to give us some surprises at times, so we'll see how that plays out. But for right now, I think the fear of adding any kind of significant weather premium isn't there quite yet. Fund liquidation has been a big player, you know, on the way up as the funds were zealously bullish and making money as the market week by week was printing new higher closes. You know, really that builds a position on the long side. And along with that comes the risk that if they all hit the exits at the same time, that prices could fall pretty good. And I think that's been one of the other drivers there. Basically, managed money has been given reasons to basically cut their length on the soybean long position they have. And, you know, the commitment to traded data last showed funds sold roughly net of about 33,500-ish soybean contracts in the last reporting week. And obviously, several reports are suggesting some additional selling likely occurred after the cutoff. So, palms out. We'll see if that starts to abate some. And hopefully, they've done the bulk of the selling to liquidate a big chunk of the long positions, which would actually create some kind of reversion to the mean, we'll call it, in statistics terms, but also just kind of calm things down. Soybeans are not competitive enough here versus South America, the U.S. soybeans prices, that is. Even after last week's weakness, there's reports out there that U.S. values still are not competitive with South America for summer delivery. And obviously, if you're shopping and you are not necessarily feeling like you should be shopping only in the United States, you want to check out the worldwide market, then if we're sitting there with competing against other countries for the same quality of soybean, then obviously the price that is the cheapest might look the most attractive, and we're not there quite yet. China demand, that remains a key missing bullish catalyst, so we'll see if anything pops up that can be directly linked to soybean purchases out of China. We do have a USDA report out this week. That might be a bit of a more positioning event, so maybe some of this bearishness that we've seen, you might see some kind of short covering going into the report. Really my takeaway for this report coming up relative to the average trade guesstimates is that if you look at the U.S., maybe things are more of a mixed bag. There's some bullishness in terms of ending stocks for corn relative to the previous USDA report. More about steady for soybeans, maybe a little bit higher in terms of ending stocks for wheat relative to the last USDA report. In terms of wheat production, generally speaking, looks to be more on the bullish side of the equation relative to the previous USDA report. And that's great. I mean, I'd love to see bullish numbers, but again, we are competing against the rest of the world. So when it comes to world grain ending stocks, world crop production for corn and soybeans, you know, there just doesn't seem to be enough problems out there to really start moving the needle in terms of the ending stocks and the ultimate supply. So we are going to continue to compete with that, even if locally here in the U.S., things aren't necessarily great, especially in terms of wheat production. But, you know, when you got to compete with the rest of the world, it doesn't matter, right? Could not matter. Let's put it that way. In terms of corn, dialing into that one real quick here. Again, similar to soybeans, crop weather is the dominant bearish factor. Same thing in terms of the heavy fund liquidation, technical selling. You know, just the technicians out there, the chart looks weak, W-E-A-K, week after week. And that doesn't help the structure in terms of those who are looking at the market and trying to identify a bearish move, which we're clearly in at the moment. Crop ratings may improve, right? We're talking about that crop condition report this afternoon. Widespread rains, generally favorable conditions. Crop ratings are expected to improve from the previous week, so that would kind of reinforce the bearish production narrative. And then again, demand is good. There's no doubt about it for corn, but it's not strong enough to really offset the weather pressure. And the market is basically looking for global importers, including China, to step in and, you know, pretty much sway this sharp price decline to the best of its ability there. The wheat futures, kind of interesting, right? I think there's the bullish case, which we all know of, which is, you know, the quality concerns and the quantity concerns and for the winter wheat crop. And, you know, we are getting harvest right now. So, you know, maybe we'll see some short covering at some point when the harvest starts to taper off there, but it is advancing. Global crop news, kind of leaning mixed to bearish. Ukraine's wheat crop estimate was raised and export ideas were also increase, just basically adding to the sense of availability out of the Black Sea supply. And then for the French, that being a large production source, their wheat ratings slipped slightly due to heat, but really still remain historically strong for early June. So not enough concern in terms of production numbers out of the rest of the world to really add any kind of considerable bullish catalyst to the wheat futures. So that's what we're dealing with at the moment. We will get the USDA reports in terms of the crop condition and crop progress this afternoon. Trade that tonight and into tomorrow, and then we will wait for Thursday's USDA report.
Bob Maurer, Manduka Trading in Chicago on the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit TexasCorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today is Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Livestock markets lower. What happened?
Well, the livestock futures took it on the chin to start out this week, with the fat cattle and the feeder cattle down on the session pretty good, and then also the hog markets falling back a little bit. So we'll see how this start to the week plays out for the rest of the week. Taking them one by one, what's impacting the cattle market? You've got the New World screwworm. That's definitely a headline market driver. Texas declared a disaster for the affected region, where that second confirmed case in South Texas, located near the first case, is obviously creating some major headline risk. And we'll see how that ripples through that market. In particular, we're worried about Canada temporarily banning Texas livestock imports, and you know, we'll have to think about how this could play out over the intermediate term here if that screwworm really starts becoming pervasive, which I hope it does not, in Texas. So we'll see how that plays out. But that's the main headline driver that's going to create some continued volatility. Cash cattle remains relatively firm. Southern cash live cattle traded around 256 to 258. Northern dress was about 405. Five area weighted average was only slightly below the previous week. So relatively steady in terms of how things ended up last week. Box beef supply is steady, but not really showing any kind of strong seasonal surge yet. And it could be indicative of the high prices. Choice box beef closed at about 393. That was only slightly higher than week over week. Slaughter numbers still remain below year ago levels, so we still have that structural supply situation going on with the cattle market. Year-to-date slaughter is down roughly about 9.2%, kind of reinforcing that tight supply backdrop. If we look over to hogs real quick, the pork cutout improved last week. Export sales were solid. The CME lean hog index has been rising. Working against that some is the futures. Basically, they failed to hold early weaker strength. The managed money flipped net short. Cash hogs were lower on Friday, and traders are a bit concerned at the moment that that hold that they thought was going to develop in terms of supply for the summer may not be as much as they thought it was going to be, and they're starting to be concerned that's maybe some of the summer contracts carry too much premium, and now we're clearly sitting under 100 with the July lean hog futures trade 97.30 and the August down at 96.10. So plenty to keep an eye out for. We got to watch the headline risk. We'll get some crop reports this week, and obviously that could work its way into the feeder cattle markets, so we'll see how that plays out.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago on the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, how do we keep up with you?
Yeah, for the producers, the hedgers, the active traders out there looking for an experienced person like myself to collaborate with, I'd be happy to visit with them. about their market objectives, risk tolerance, and execution needs. To learn more, you just pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053, or come visit online at www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Bob Maurer in Chicago on the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Of the first four New World screwworm cases, one involves a dog. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
Just a cattle issue. It is a pet issue as well. We have deployed additional trained dogs, our USDA dogs, down to the border that will be working with all crossing and all pets that are crossing, and we'll be limiting those pretty significantly now going forward. We are also looking and asking all residents to look for draining or enlarged wounds and signs of discomfort in animals, looking for the screwworm larvae, which look like maggots and eggs, in or around body openings. The one that was found was actually in the umbilical cord of a three-week-old bovine. If you suspect your animal is infested with screwworm, contact your state animal health official or the USDA area veterinarian in charge immediately. All their information, contact, etc., is on the website screwworm.gov.
It's the Agribusiness Report.